If you would turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 4, especially giving attention to what we count as the third great temptation that we have recorded, the great temptation of Jesus by the devil. From verse 8 through to 10 in particular. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" "Do it my way," Satan said to the woman in the garden, "and you will be like God." "Do it my way," Satan said to Jesus on the high mountain, "and you can have all the kingdoms of the world and their glory." "Do it my way, do it our way," the world says to us. The world, as in all who continue under the rule of Satan, because yes, it is his rule wherever God's way and will is not kept. "Do it my way," Satan says to the world, "and you can have so much." But he didn't tell the woman that she would lose her righteousness and her soul until she put her trust in God's mercy again. He didn't need to tell Jesus what would happen, or did he? He doesn't tell men today that he doesn't have life to give us. That's someone else's to give. When the world says, "Do it our way, and you can have all these wonderful things," the world doesn't tell men that they only have the things of this world to give. They will insist that this is a great way, this is the better way, this is the easier way. But for what? The woman saw the fruit and she said, "It looks good, but for what?" Jesus might have looked on the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said, "It's magnificent. But if I take it this way, for what?" In the last few weeks, I've asked a few basic questions. If you could gain the whole world, but it means losing your soul, what do you have? If you will not trust in God, what pattern is there, what standard is there for life at all? But what hope is there? And today, if you will not serve God, that's where I'm going to turn. I would like to set out on a project, as it were, to talk with you about living in God's way in daily life. But before we get there, before Jesus set out on his ministry, he had some major questions, these very same questions to answer. Are you as established as he is, so that you will know how to meet and receive God's word for daily life? These foundation questions, you might say, we could put it in, if you like, our language, whose way will you choose? And I'm not really going into absolutely everything of these verses. What I do want to draw to your attention is what's on offer here. And who makes the offer. But then also to think on who you are who receives that offer. what is on offer. First, you'd look at Jesus, what was on offer to him. He was offered, you could tell me yourself, in verse 8, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Into verse 9, he said to him, all these things I will give you. This is what's on offer. All the kingdoms of the world and their glory. That was the thing that was on offer. But written into it is also a means on offer. This is yours if you will fall down and worship me. All the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Isn't that what you, the Son of God, have come to get? Isn't that what your work is about as you have come amongst men here? I have it in my hands. Yes, Satan does have it in his hands to a large degree. He is the leader of the spirit that works against God in this world. It is in his hands. You've come to get it out of my hands, haven't you? That's effectively what Satan is coming at here with Jesus. And he says to him, well, that's what you want, that's what you're here for. It's yours. You can have what you want. We don't know if Satan knew what was ahead of Jesus. But he knew that Jesus had humbled himself beyond imagining. We can't imagine just what depths Jesus had come to out of eternal glory. But here's a way out. You've only just started, but you don't have to go on any further. You can have the kingdoms of the world and their glory right here and now. You can have it. Here's a way out from whatever it might be in front of you. Here's a way out. A more comfortable way. If you have to be humbled, if you have to be humiliated, if you have to suffer, if you have to live as these poor people live, these men, you won't have to go through all that. You don't have all that suffering ahead of you. Why bother with all that? I can give it to you. But sometime later, Jesus had this to say to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are not thinking of the things of God, but the things of men. Satan's offer was not according to the things of God. That's not the way he thinks. He thinks against the things of God. What is on offer here? At a first glance, this is precisely what Jesus had come to gain. All the kingdoms of the world and their glory. It is what he has come for. But not the way it's offered. What is on offer? Not the things of God. They're not, therefore, the things that turn to everlasting good. The glory that Satan offered to Jesus had its complications. It would not last. Jesus had already known eternal glory. He anticipated returning to eternal glory. He knew that this was not what was on offer. At face value, yes. Go beyond face value. We live in a world, our nation at least, our culture lives in a world that is largely to do with face value. Dig deeper for your own safety, for your own good. At face value, this looks fine. Jesus knew it wasn't. He was far from it. And that's the way it is for you and for me still. Jesus did do this to provide us. He went through this. He rejected the temptation because he was on the path to provide us with salvation. But here he also provides us with example. He shows us what to expect and he shows us how to respond. Much the same kind of offer is made to us every day. much the same as it was with Jesus, as it was with Eve. Here's a better way. These are the things to be looked for, things to be filling your life with. Where does God's word come into it? Where does God's challenge on these things of men come into it? Satan's words were exactly right. Satan said to the woman too, said, you'll be wise. Sounded great. Satan's words to Jesus, exactly right. In Revelation 11:15, we hear the loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And surely the glory of the kingdoms was with that as well. Yes, the words were right, but something was missing. It didn't have God's interests at heart, and it didn't have the true interests of man at heart. On the surface it looked the same. The reality was something very different. An offer that falls short, but an offer also that added something. It would require something that was not appropriate. It would require this devotion, this worship to another, other than God. Satan himself invited and invites worship and service. That's really what worship is about, is to serve, to take another as our guide and our God in life. And Jesus' answer illuminates that and reminds us that there is only one who is to be worshipped, the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. That, I think, effectively reminds us to be aware of who makes the offer. What is on offer? Many good things. 2 weeks ago I spoke about what a wonderful world we live in, made by God. It is absolutely glorious. Many, many good things given to us richly to enjoy, the apostle said. And Satan does take many of these things and offer them to us. The world, the spirit of the world, under his rule, his so-called light, takes these things and makes the offer. Many will say it's nonsense that the world follows the devil. But is it really? The only alternative is to be truly, fully devoted to God. And that's not the case. If you're not devoted to following God's instruction, who then? And it is the devil who has disrupted this world. The world does take its lead from the ruler of this age. But this beautiful world has chased after things other than God. It's chased after things without God, trying to tear him, the giver, away from the gift. The world that we live in has become a stranger to their God. We are surrounded in our country by people saying, I don't believe in God. You can go to Africa and you find people following the ancestors. Go to the Far East and you have the Buddhists and the Hindus. And it's all about man, or it's about the spirits within everything that's around you. You come closer and there are religions in this world that are focused entirely upon man's own personal works of looking for righteousness. And none of these are the way that God has set it up. But men would go after many other things and not follow as God sets out, the way that God sets before us. So who's making the offer? See through it. See behind it. You know these telephone calls that you get now and again, or people coming to the door trying to sell something, and they'll have an ID, or somehow or other they come across and they say, well, I can fix your PPI claim and so on. Yeah, but let's double check. Who's doing this? Who's behind it? You would do that in daily life. If you saw a bargain on eBay, watch yourself. Will you get the support you need? Who's selling it? Who's offering? You do that. Well, do it. Follow it all the way through. And the offers of hope and wonder in this world, who's making them? The temptation continues, as it was with our first mother Eve and our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything but is the spirit of the world. Everything but what God tells us himself. The messages that we have all around us, instant fame, it dies like a flame. Wealth and health, the be-all and end-all. Make yourself number one and look after number one. Isn't that the way that things are in our age, our world? But who's pointing you in that direction? What are their interests? Are they the things of God? And the things of God, the thoughts of God, are thoughts of good and not evil. Not only who makes the offer, but consider who you are. Jesus did that too. He knew he belonged to God. He just had that assurance that was being questioned several times in these temptations, but that assurance back in chapter 3 that as he had been baptized, he was joined with men in that baptism, but also he was reminded that he had God's acknowledgement as his beloved son, and he had a special blessing of the Spirit who led him into that wilderness for temptation. But Jesus knew that he belonged to God. That was his identity. And as long as he heard something that was not with God, that was not setting out God's way, that was not going to be his way to go. Now what about you? If you're not a believer, you still have this God. He is the God of the nations. He is the one who made you. He is the one who provides every need of your life. Yes, his way is different. His way may not seem to be quite so smooth as the other ways of life. It does mean stepping down to number two or less. That's only our natural level. It's where we want to be number one. We want to be our own God, the ruler of our own lives. It's there that chaos reigns. But better to be number two or lower than to be left for rubbish, which is what Satan and this world does, if that's your service. God's way in this world, Jesus is a prime example. You'll find it repeatedly through the Bible from the very beginning. Those who followed God's way did not have an easy way. And for you who are believers, don't expect it to be easy. Jesus shows us how it is. He had a great object to gain the kingdoms and their glory. But he knew that it had to be done through suffering, to earn it, as it were. And so it is, especially for the believer. There are all those great people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and it says of some of them, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The old song, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. It is a wonderful world, but the spirit that reigns in the world stands against God, and for that reason it is a strange world. There are strangers in this world, one side or the other. And for you as a believer, this world is ruled by a contrary spirit. You do not belong here as it stands. As it stands. When this world makes you an offer, friends who don't trust Christ say, do this with me. Your colleagues say, you need that promotion. Your career advisors from school, this is the way to make a success of your life. Within our families, who is offering what Christ offers? Because that's who you are, that's who you need to be if you believe in Christ. What is the offer? Take His instead. The offer of salvation to be released for something far, far greater. Think of it like this. Perhaps on the radio you'll hear an advertisement, and then at the very end they say, maybe subject to terms and conditions. So they gabble it away so that you miss it. You open up a document and you read the basics, and then there's a whole pile, 3 or 4 pages of small print, and you say, well, I suppose they mean the best. Let's just go with it. That's the devil's offers. That's the world's offers. The big, the great, the glamorous, to make you buy. And then the small print with its complications and its restrictions and its get-out clauses. They're not going to help you if you get into trouble. You know how it is with Christ and His offers? It's actually the other way around. What was small becomes large. He says, it's going to be tough. It's a narrow gate. It's a difficult way. But there is something great and good at the other end. He doesn't hide these things. It's plain to see. You will not be caught up. This book is full of it. It is a way that involves suffering to get glory. Or would you take the alternative, today's easier route, and suffer later? Paul said, if you are children of God, then you are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. What is to be given to Him will be given to you, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And then he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You could put that into the mouth of Jesus facing that temptation. I consider that the sufferings of this present time don't any measure compare with the glory that comes through that suffering. The other day I was able to get out and rake some leaves, and I ended up with pain in both my shoulders because I wasn't used to it. But it was good to see that place clear of leaves. You do it all the time. You go through something tough to get something better at the other end. That's what Jesus said. I'm not taking the easy option. Your offer is not according to the things of God, which is not for the interests of men. I'm not going to take it. Be very clear that the spirit that does rule this world only has short-term interests, and they're not yours at all. You are more than short-term. That's why I ask, who are you? Think about who you are. You're more than short-term. You might not be able to visualize it. You might not be able to feel it. Doesn't make it any less real. Friends, be wise. Choose the way that does lead to eternal life. It will take you through the tough things now. But you get that set. Get that very clear. I would take you again, whether it's to Jesus, and Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, you do this, but looking to Jesus, He endured the cross. Gave His life. He endured the shame of all men. He was cast out. and there was because there was a joy before him, and I believe it is to take his people to himself. Take Paul, who suffered more than most, on the brink of death a number of times. And he talks about these as light afflictions that bring a far greater weight of glory. Paul said, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I ask you, are the glories of this present time worthy to be compared with the pains that shall be revealed in you after this, if that's the way you choose? There's little I can say. I speak especially to those who say you trust in Christ. There's little I can say to you about how to live your life in the practical things that you meet day by day, unless you have this well set. This was the foundation for Jesus going on to live a life that was transforming to the people who saw him, the people who heard him. Bear the burdens now. Set yourself to know that they will come, but they are worth it. Bear the burdens as strangers in this world, a world which will not see, will not understand, and will seek to set you off the mark, but will not offer you eternal good. But if you set yourself to that, you will then gain true blessing. When Jesus had this offer to get just what he wanted, what he had come for, was he foolish to decline it? He saw that it would bring greater pain if he took it. He saw that he himself would be separated from his God, his Father. He could not do it. He saw that it would leave his people abandoned, unsaved. And he suffered through all these things for the sake of the greater glory. Friends, rather be strange to the world than to God. And for this morning, just so far, may God set his blessing on his word in our hearts. Let us pray together.